I want to begin with a little fun. I'm going to show you a picture of someone, and I want you to say who they go together with. Here's the first one. Batman and Robin. Woody and Buzz. My point in showing you those is that we really are stronger together. As humans, we are designed for connection. We are designed to be with each other. And that is what this With Stronger Together series is all about. We want to help each other grow stronger in our relationship with God, stronger in our relationship with one another, and stronger in our relationships with our community. That's why our 2020 Word of the Year With connects two things together. It indicates combination and togetherness. And there's never been a more important time to be with than right now. The coronavirus is keeping all of us apart. Our regular rhythms of connection removed. Physical gatherings like church and school and parties and sports all removed. That's why I wanted to double down on our word for the year through this With Stronger Together series. This is a 10-week journey with a 10-week challenge, 10 actions in 10 weeks that will grow our faith, strengthen our relationships, and bless our community. So make sure you sign up if you haven't already. I want to pray for you and encourage you over the next 10 weeks to become stronger together. And this is what this With Stronger Together looks like. With God in prayer, with one another in service, with everyone in generosity. It connects the what with the how. So this is what we're going to be going through over the next 10 weeks. 3 weeks of prayer, 3 weeks of service, and 4 weeks of generosity. And we are beginning with service. So let me ask you this question. How can we be stronger together in serving our community? As we talk about serving our city, we're going to look at a great story from Scripture over the next 3 weeks that I know will inspire us and give us practical steps for how to do it. The story that we're going to be looking at for the next 3 weeks comes from a book of the Bible in the Old Testament titled Nehemiah. Let me set up the story here. Nehemiah is a Hebrew brought up in exile in Babylon. Jerusalem had been destroyed around 141 years earlier. Many of the people taken as slaves back to Babylon. You might know the story of Daniel and his friends taken as slaves. That was 141 years earlier. Nehemiah, like Daniel, finds favor in the service of the Persian king. We find out in chapter 1 that Nehemiah is serving as the cupbearer to the king. This was a job of high rank in the king's inner circle. The person in this job and it had to be totally regarded as trustworthy. They ensured the wine and the water was not poisoned. On one hand, that is a pretty good job. On the other hand, you're putting your life on the line against any of the king's enemies. But for a foreign slave, this was a high position with influence, and it's also a good and comfortable life. You're living in the palace, but as you're going to see, Nehemiah is willing to give it up. He's willing to give it up to make a difference. So today, I want us to learn from this story. Let me ask you this question: what does it take to serve others and to see our city flourish? This has been a major part of our vision in this church. We want to be a church that serves others and blesses our city. We want our community to be better because we're here. We asked ourselves this question many years ago. If our church closed its doors, would our community even care? I believe they would because of how much we give and serve. Our goal is that people who don't believe what we believe in the city would be grateful for us and glad that Eastlake Church is here because we make our community and city better. I want to show you how Nehemiah did it for his homeland in the holy city of Jerusalem. The first thing we must do that Nehemiah did was this. Wake up. Wake up. Nehemiah is 800 miles away from the homeland and city, from his homeland and city of Jerusalem. He knows there is a small number of people left there after the city was destroyed. He knows there are problems that people are facing. And he's asking about them. And look at what it says right here in Nehemiah 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is what he's saying. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. Let me ask you this. Have you heard of the term woke? If someone is woke, it means they are aware. They're not blind to the injustice around them. They are consciously awake. This describes Nehemiah. He was woke to the brokenness of Jerusalem and those who lived there. He was aware of their vulnerability. No city walls meant no protection. They were the joke of the neighboring nations. He felt their pain. He had empathy, and you'll see that he was moved to action. If we're going to serve others and bless our city, we have to wake up. We have to wake up to the needs around us. We can't live self-absorbed and so isolated in our homes that we are unaware of the broken places and broken people around us. One of my prayers for this series and 10-week challenge is that God would wake us up. Would wake us up to the needs around us. I know you see them. I know you see them. Once we wake up, the next thing we need to do is this, to pray up. Pray up. When we become aware of the needs of others, the brokenness, the injustice, the pain, our first response should be to pray. Look at what it says in Nehemiah 1:4. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days, I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let me say this. Prayer is an action. It's not passive. When you read the stories in Scripture over and over again, they reveal a prayer that moves the heart and hand of God. Prayer changes things. And one of the biggest things it changes is me. It moved me closer to the heart of God, helping me see from a godly perspective, to understand from a kingdom of God perspective. It gives me spiritual insight. And as Jesus people, we don't just want to be woke to the injustice around us. We want to be woke to God's plan to fix them. So when we pray, God, do you see the problem here? The need, the injustice? God, will you do something? God almost always says, yes, I will. And you are going to be part of the answer to your own prayer. Look at what it says in Nehemiah 1:11. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was the cupbearer to the king. Nehemiah is saying, God, let me be part of the solution. Help me use my position, what I have, who I am, to be part of the answer to the problem I see. If we're going to serve others and bless our community, we must wake up, pray up, and then speak up. We need to speak up. I want to show you how Nehemiah took the step to become the answer to his own prayer. Look at what it says in Nehemiah 2. 2, 1 through 5 says this. In the month of Nisan, I guess Nisan cars existed back then. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of the heart. I was very much afraid." Let me explain something. Let me give you some background. In the courts of many ancient kings, it was forbidden to be sad in the presence of the king. The idea was that the king was such a wonderful person that merely being in his presence was supposed to make you forget all of your problems. When Nehemiah looked sad, it could have been taken as a terrible insult to the king. Let's continue to read verse 3. "But I said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?' The king said to me, 'What is it that you want?' Then I prayed to the God of heaven." It's like that moment he was praying. "Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king, 'If it pleases the king, if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city of Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it.'" Check this out. Let me say this right here. When the opportunity came to do something, he did it. He took a chance. He pushed through his fear, trusting God was with him. He spoke up. He used his privilege, his status, to speak up for those who had no audience with the king. Let me say this. People of God, we must do the same thing. We must stand up against all evil and injustice. We must speak up for the poor and the taken advantage of. Look at what it says in Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. It says this: "Speak out on behalf of those who have no voice and defend all of those who have been passed over. Open your mouth, judge fairly, and stand up for the rights of the afflicted and the poor." This is why, as a network, we care for over 500 orphans in Bright Hope School in Uganda. This is why we fight against human trafficking. This is why we preach on issues like racism and sexism. This is why we partner with Community Through Hope and Soy TJ to feed the hungry and homeless. This is why we build homes for families in poverty here in Tijuana. This is why we will open the reassignment center in Mexico for those being deported. God has been using East Lake Church to speak up for others, to be the answer, and for us to be the answer to our own prayers and meeting the needs we see around us. And we want to continue. We want to continue. This is how we serve and bless our city. We wake up, we pray up, we speak up, and then we get up. That sounds like a song that could be a hit. Don't steal it from me, all right? Wake up, pray up, speak up, and get up. Don't steal it. Don't steal it. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, let's do something about it. Join me. Let's do something about it. This is what Nehemiah did. Look at what it says in Nehemiah 2, 6 and 9. "Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, 'How long will your journey take? And when will you get back?' It pleased the king to send me. So I set a time. I also said to him, 'If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governor of the Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah? And may I have a letter to Asaph, the king of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy.'" He's going for it. He's asking for materials for his own home. And let's continue to read. "And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request. So I went to the governors of the Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letter. The king also sent an army of officers and cavalry with me. Nehemiah went for it. This is amazing. Not only did God answer his prayer and the king let him go to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, he got the king to pray for the whole thing. And his own home too. The same empire that destroyed Jerusalem was now paying to rebuild it. Talk about the power of prayer. Woo! Wow! But don't miss the risk and sacrifice Nehemiah was willing to make here. He had to risk his job. He had to risk his life to speak up. Then he had to leave what was comfortable for the unknown future. But he was willing to go. Let me ask you a question. Will you wake up? Will you pray up? Will you speak up? And will you get up? If we're going to meet the needs and make a difference, it's going to cost us. It might cost us our reputation, cost us our time, probably cost us some money, probably cost you your comfort. Like Nehemiah, we will have to leave behind what is easy and comfortable if we're going to make a difference. I believe God is calling you, calling us over the next 10 weeks to a deeper life of faith. Let me ask you this question. Are you willing to leave what is easy and comfortable to grow and make a difference? We have done this for the past 3 years during our I Love TJ service projects, and this year with Soy TJ. During this pandemic, we have been a blessing to our community more than ever before in our history. Thousands of dollars given to people in need with the Kalimax gift cards. Thousands of dollars. And we want to continue to serve and bless our city again. That is why during these 10 weeks, we are asking everyone to sign up to the 10-week challenge and serve in two ways. One of them is this: do a service project and meet a need. This can be through one we've organized, or a need that you see and you can meet it on your own with your family or a group of friends. And number two, a Stronger Together gift box. We wanna give to someone in your life. We're gonna give you the box so that way you can take it to them and bless them. It's gonna be an amazing. It could be used for some encouragement. So I'm asking you, I'm actually challenging you to wake up, to pray up, to speak up, and to get up. Let's push past our fears, past our comfort for the next 10 weeks and see the amazing things God will do in us and through us. Join me in the 10-week challenge. Here's a little reminder. All this is possible because the Lord is great. All this is possible because the Lord is great. We're going to be singing a song that's called Great Are You, Lord. It's one of my favorite songs. It's been ministering me for a while now. Let me sing you some lines before we go to worship. And just, this is what it says. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Let's worship.